to put one foot in front of the other. And the regality of our situation is that we can sit in the presence of God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm thankful to be alive today. I realize that my living is not wrapped up in my own righteousness. But God is gracious. God is merciful. And praise God, He's kind. That He allows us to be on this side of life. And we are still in the land of the dying, but on our way to the land of the living. Say amen when you can. So if you're here on this day and you're visiting here with us, we want you to know that you are honored guests, and we're happy to have you in the house of the Lord. And we pray that the Lord would bless you in a most marvelous way. We hope that you have come with an open mind as well as an open Bible to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God that is sure enough able to save all of our souls. We're thankful to the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ, and it's good to be back in Greenville Avenue. It's just good to be here, and it's good to see all of the faithful saints. We're thankful for your reputation throughout the brotherhood. We're thankful for your faithfulness. We're thankful for your commitment to kingdom business. And we just pray that God would continue to bless you in a mighty way as you move throughout this world to teach those about Jesus. Now, we are always grateful to come to Greenville Avenue with respect of Brother Shelton T.W. Gibbs III, who laid hands on me to continue and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for the contribution that he made in my life, and I'm thankful for the way in which he preaches the gospel and lives what he preaches as an example for me to look up to. Additionally, apple doesn't fall far from the tree or doesn't roll close by the tree, however you want to look at it. But I'm just thankful to have Brother Bradshaw as my dear friend and fellow preaching colleague in the ministry. He's a wonderful gospel preacher. And a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, Brother Bradshaw came and preached one of our meetings at South Union. And I told him today that clear his calendar because we want him back real soon. With good gospel preachers, you have to tell them about 2 years in advance. Amen. Because people want the gospel preached. And we're living in a day where there's a famine in the land. You don't hear the gospel told as much as you've heard it in times past. But we're just thankful that he's a capable preacher, and you're blessed to have him here at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ along with his family. And so it's just good to see the Gibbs, the Bradshaws, and the Bonds, who are family, dear family friends. Thankful to have Brother Wendell Hart, my friend and associate minister of the Sugar Land Church of Christ, with us on today. Want to take a minute and just commend the youth of Greenville Avenue. Not only are the youth here, but they are participants in the worship and they are active in the ministries. And I just want to salute all of the youth who attend Greenville Avenue. We just pray for you. We realize that you are living in some dangerous times, and there are many distractions in the world. But just to see you here, and then to see those young men who have come before us, serving around the table and looking the part, it just means that there are great parents and there are great influences somewhere, and we salute all of the families here at Greenville Avenue. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you journey with us to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, the prophecy of the 53rd chapter. Isaiah 53 and the verses are 1 through 3. Isaiah 53, verse number 1, verse number 2, and verse number 3. For emphasis of the reading, I'll read aloud verse number 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? If that's in your Bible, then say amen. Amen. I want to preach from the subject, praise the Lord, I have a good report. Praise the Lord, I have a good report. Being fully aware of the significance of this day, we want to preach from this text, but we also want to include a youthful overtone that will encourage, inspire, and enlighten our young people in the path of righteousness. Praise the Lord, I have a good report. The book of Isaiah is a most interesting book, to the which the prophet Isaiah, who ministered 700 years before the coming of the Christ. He's God's man giving God's word among God's people. And of course, Isaiah is a most interesting figure, to the which he is considered one of the four major prophets: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And of course, he is considered a major prophet not because his message was more major than anyone else's, but because of the length of his ministry and how he ministered to God's people and encouraged God's people to stay in God's way. As we peruse the historical account of Isaiah, we understand that Isaiah is known as one of the most quoted prophets in all of the Bible. That is to say that over 85 times there are direct quotations or allusions that reference Isaiah's ministry. Isaiah prophesied that God's people would rebel from God's way. But then I'm thankful that he also prophesied that through repentance, God would bring forth redemption and bring forth resurrection and restore his people once again. I've come today to just say that it's always good to remember that God can restore his people. I've come today to say that there's a blessing that comes with repentance. And when we repent and turn away from sin and walk in the righteousness of God, God can bring about great redemption to his people. Yes, the book of Isaiah is beautiful. It's beautiful in so many ways. This particular text speaks of four components. Well, in verses 1 through 3, we have the account of the rejection of the coming of the Messiah. In verses 4 through 6, we have it told of the redemption that the coming Messiah would bring. And then verses 7 through 9, the resignation of the Messiah. And then verses 10 through 12, the great reward of the coming Messiah. Well, I'm here to tell you, my friends, that I'm thankful we have a good report. And in reference to young people, I'm in my conclusion. Amen. Amen. In my conclusion, someone says, well, how long does it take you to conclude? Well, you just have to wait and see. But there's a word in here for young folk. Now, many times when we go to Isaiah 53, we go to Isaiah 53 to preach about the coming of the Christ. But I want you to know that there are some youthful overtones that are captured in Isaiah 53. Because Isaiah 53 begins with Isaiah asking a question. He says, who hath believed our report? If you're taking notes, note number one. Isaiah poses an interrogative. He begins this narrative by asking a question. He lifts to the surface, who shall believe our report? I've come today to tell you that there are many reports in the world, but there's only but one good report that can save a man from his sins. And in our world, with young folk who are striving to be all they can be, we have to remember that there are many reports out here floating. And the question is, who of the young folk are going to believe the report of God? There's a lot of reports out here floating, but every report does not come from God. There are a lot of folks saying a lot of things, and there are a lot of things being done in the world, but every report is not a good report. Just like every person who speaks is not speaking the oracles of God, every report does not come from the wisdom of God. You see, I found out that there are many in life who have various reports. You see, everywhere you go, there's somebody reporting. But the question is, who is talking about Jesus? As a young person, we have to understand that young people are bombarded with many distractions in this world. There's a report from their friends. There's a report from the family. There's a report from the society. But all of these reports may not have come from God. I'm here to tell you, my friends, that as the youth continue to grow and continue to learn, our young folk are going to have to make a decision. They're faced with decisions. Decisions every day. They're faced with whether they're going to do right or whether they're going to do wrong. They're faced with whether they're going to go to school or whether they're going to skip school. They're faced with whether they're going to be true to their upbringing and their morals, or whether or not they're going to abandon what their folk have taught them. I'm here to tell you, there are many reports out there. But Isaiah asked the question, who shall believe this report? Well, now, when I look with my mind's eye and see Isaiah, I see Isaiah asking this question. But I see Isaiah also understanding that he is one of the prophets. Listen to what he says. He says, who
shall believe our report. Isaiah saw himself as the mouthpiece of God. But Isaiah also realized that he was not in the teaching of God by himself. I come today to tell you that we have to understand that when God calls men and women to the gospel, that you should never become downtrodden. Don't walk around, bedraggled as a people, but understand that you are not in it by yourself. See, I know that's important, because as a young person goes and grows, he has to understand that he may be in the minority, but with God, he's a part of the majority. Am I right about it? There are other young folk who are trying to do right. There are other young folk who want to do well. There are other young folk who want to walk in the path of righteousness. Don't ever see that you are in it all by yourself, because the devil wants to discourage you. The devil wants to make you feel like you're the only one trying to do right. See, he'll tell you, you're the only one going to class. You're the only one that's saying yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. You're the only one that gets in by the curfew time. You're the only one that respects your parents. You're the only one that'll tell the truth. But I'm here to tell you, God always has a remnant of folk who will stand for him, who will serve him, who will live for him, and who will teach the gospel to the lost world. Isaiah saw himself then. He saw himself because he said, who shall believe our report? Now, that's the interrogative. Who shall believe our report? And I've come today to ask young folk, whose report are you going to believe? You have a choice whether to stay with those principles that those who love you have taught you. You have a choice whether or not to listen to grandma when she tells you that you ought to remember your creator in the days of your youth, before your evil days draw nigh. You see, there's coming a time when young folk will be old folk. Somebody better pray with me this morning. I say there come a time when you have to leave your teenage years. I say there come a time when you're going to be evicted from your good looks. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. I say there comes a time. There's going to come a time where you're not going to be able to run as fast as you used to. I say there coming a time when you're not going to be interested in the youthful lust of this world. There's coming a time when responsibility stares you in the face. And if you want to stand, you have to first of all answer the interrogative. Are you going to be one who believes the good report? And then not only that, but I see something else in the text. I see who have believed our report. Interrogative. But listen to this. And to what? Who is the arm of the Lord revealed? Point number two. In that interrogative, I see information. The Bible says that the arm of the Lord signifies the might and the dominion of God. Every time, family, you read about the arm of the Lord, it always gives a direction to the great might of God, which is but to say that God can do all things except for fail. There is nothing that God cannot do. Stay with me, church. I say there is nothing that God cannot do. Why is this important, family? This is important because we need to remind each other sometimes that while you are living in a world seemingly gone wrong, there is nothing that God cannot do. I say, you are a Christian and you are striving to be the best you can be. But every now and then, there are distractions and disturbances in your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's a distraction with your name on it. It doesn't matter how young you are. There is a disturbance with your name on it. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that when disturbances and distractions arise, somebody needs to remember the arm of the Lord. I'm here to tell you, you need to remember the power of the Lord. I'm here to encourage you to know that even in the face of temptation, you will be able to triumphantly win the battle because the Lord is with you. And when the Lord is with you, the Lord will give you what you need. He'll give you what you need and for what you need it for. I'm here to tell you that with every temptation, God provides a way of escape. With every trial, God will provide strength for you to rise to your challenge. With every struggle, the Lord will be with you and he'll comfort you, he'll guide you, and he'll protect you. I'm thankful that Isaiah asked a question. He said, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, I've come today to say that we can answer that question. We can answer the question that the Lord's arm is revealed. And how do you know it, my friends? We know it because of nature itself. We know it because of the universe itself. Even if you did not believe in God, I'm telling you that the heavens declare his handiwork. I wish I had a witness in here that would know that God is able to do all things except for fail. I'm here to tell you that the earth that you and I live on, it is held up by the power of God. There are no strings attached. There is no path that the visible eye can see. But what is made visible is held in place by the invisible God. I'm thankful that his handiworks are declared. When I look up into the heaven, I know that there's a God. When I walk down by the beach, I know that there is a God. When I wake up in the morning, I know that there is a God, because strength does not come from how many weights you lift. Strength does not come from how bad you want it. I'm here to tell you that strength comes from the Lord. And when I get up in the morning, I know that God is with me, for in him we live, move, and have our very being. I'm here to tell you that God and the Spirit of God, it animates my life. I'm able to know who I am and know where I am by the power of God. Brother, how are you able to sing those songs? It's because God gave you the ability. How are you able to stay on pitch? Praise the name of Jesus. It's because God gave you the talent. How are you able to stay with the Lord? It's because God gave you the faith. I'm here to tell you, my friends, that there is nothing we can do in the world except God give us the ability to accomplish it. You're doing well in school. God bless you. God bless you. But don't you realize that your ability to do well is because God gave you some sense? Praise the name of Jesus. None of us can pick and choose how intelligent we are. I wish I had some folk to help me in here. I say, intelligence is given and passed out by the Creator. And the ability to comprehend and to understand and to be able to put things in motion comes from the arm of the Lord. The Bible teaches that he gives one power to create wealth. In other words, if God doesn't give me the strength, I don't have that job. If God doesn't give me the ability, I don't move up in the company. And let me remind us, lest we forget, that there was somebody on that job who was smarter than you. There was somebody on that job who was more qualified than you. But when you are in favor with the Lord, need some praying folk right along through here. When you are in favor with the Lord, the Lord knows how to open up a closed door. And he has the heart of the king in his hand. Which is but to say, he can make someone who says no to you come back and say yes. He can make that position that they said was closed open up all of a sudden. But it's not because of what we are, but it's because of who we serve. Oh, I'm telling you, my friends, that it's wonderful to do well in life, but young folk always remember never to become arrogant, never to become conceited, because the gift that you have and the abilities that you have are but on loan. I'm here to tell you, my friend, that God, the Creator, loans out gifts for a little while, but one day he'll take them back up. And it's up to him to distribute them to someone else. So whatever God has given me, whatever ability he's given me, I'm going to use it to glorify God. I'm going to use it to give him glory and to praise his name. I'm going to use it to bring other folk to Christ, because my gift really ain't about me. I say it's really not about me. It's about how am I going to use my gift so that God might be glorified. Amen. Isaiah asks a question. He says, who shall believe our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, now, in my closing, praise the name of Jesus. Touch your neighbor and say, he's almost done. I just want to encourage our young folk, because Satan is doing everything he can. You see, Satan will show you the glitz and the glamour of living a fast life. He won't show you the end. You ever notice that? Yeah, you ever know? You see, most of the time, how many people have gone to movies in here? I won't say you go right now, lest somebody, amen. How many people have gone to a movie before in your life? Amen. I figured everybody could be honest if I put it that way. Because then, you know, folks will say, well, what movie did he see? Well, you know. But do you know, one of the things that can spoil a movie, y'all don't hear me here, is when somebody tells you how that movie is going to end. You want to spoil a movie for a person, tell them how that movie is going to end before they have an opportunity to watch it. That's in man's world. But let me show you God's wisdom. God will show you the end. God will show you the end before the beginning ever starts. Sin is pleasurable for a season. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Which is but to say, don't put all of your faith in what you see on this side. Because what you see on this side is running fast to the grave. What good does it make to have all of the ability and all of the talent and all of the material gain and then be bankrupt when it comes to your spiritual walk with Jesus. You see, this is why I'm so encouraged to see this goodly number of young folk, because somebody has reared them correctly. And the difference between, listen, my friends, I know you didn't come here for this, but let me drop it while I pass by. You know, back in Houston, we eat a lot of gumbo. You know one thing about gumbo? You don't know what's in it. I mean, you never know everything that's in it. All you know is that it tastes mighty good. Well, in this spiritual pot of gumbo, you see, we have to encourage our young folk, because our young folk comprise the pool of teachers and leaders in the church of tomorrow. But I'm going to say in the church of today, because young folk can draw other young folk to Jesus Christ. You want to see a youth ministry on fire? Get young folk involved in the ministry. Teach them the ways of the Lord. And watch their friends become interested in spiritual things, all because they saw somebody else get involved. And I'm here to tell you, church, oh, what a blessing it is to get involved in the good report. Yeah, there's a report out there that's saying that our young folk are not going to school by the percentages of yesterday. But I'm here to tell you that's the bad report. There's a report out there that's saying that our young men are not interested in spiritual things. But they can tell you everybody who has the hit song on the radio, but they can't name the 12 apostles to save their lives. I'm here to tell you, my friends, that's the bad report. But there's a good report. The good report suggests that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. There is a good report. And the good report is that Jesus Christ shed his blood so that I might have a right to eternal life. That's the good report. The good report is that Jesus Christ has made possible a home in heaven to live with him throughout ceaseless ages. That's the good report. There's a good report in the fact that there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. Thank God there'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more heartbreak. There'll be no more heartache, for the former things of this life have passed and I can see him in peace. I'm thankful for the good report. I wish that there would be somebody here that would see the necessity of teaching the good report. Yes, you can talk about what's going on in the world. Yes, you can talk about what's going on in the political landscape. But how many folk are willing to talk about Jesus? How many folk are willing to talk about everlasting life? How many folk are willing to talk about redemption? How many folk are willing to talk about sanctification? How many folk are willing to talk about forgiveness? How many folk are willing to talk about the church? How many folk are willing to talk about salvation? That is the good report. And those who praise God for the good report know that every day might be a challenge. But I'm glad I know the Christ who knows how to carry out every challenge of my day. I'm here to tell you, I don't put my faith in myself. If God left me up to myself, I never would have made it. But I'm thankful by the grace of God, that God is able to move those barriers. That God is able to fortify my faith. That God is able to make a way back to him. When I sin, I can come back through repentance, confession, and prayer. I'm thankful for the good report. And when you're thankful for the good report, you're not ashamed of it. I say when you're thankful for the good report, you want to tell somebody. When you're thankful for the good report, you want to share the news with somebody. When you're thankful for Jesus Christ, you want to lift somebody up. When you're thankful for Jesus Christ, you want to help lift somebody else's burdens because you know that God has been good and God should be praised. So the question is, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? If you're alive right now, the power of God is revealed in the very fact that you are present this day. What more do you need to testify of God's goodness? What else does the Lord have to do to convince us that he's worth living for? I mean, he kept you safe on last night. And let me tell you, my friends, that there are some burglars who know how to pick the locks on your doors. But you're here this morning. You're sound. And giving you the benefit of the doubt, you're in your right mind. Look at what we have. God has given us this day. The question is, who's going to believe his report? If you're here this morning and you need to say yes to King Jesus, you have the opportunity right now. You can say yes to him and you can leave here rejoicing. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to be willing to repent of all of your sins and confess his name before men. When we confess his name before men, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, he'll confess us before his Father who is in heaven. And I know that when we go down in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of sin, Romans 6 verses 1 through 4, we should rise to walk in the newness of life. And when you're faithful unto death, heaven will be your home. I'm thankful that the Lord is still working in my life. I know I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And every day, his blessings never grow old. I'm thankful for the good report that gives me encouragement when my friend stabbed me in my back and my family talks about. And don't even ask about what church folk do. Because you ain't been lied on till somebody lie on you in church. Y'all gonna pray with me in a minute. But the only way you get past all that stuff, you gotta have faith in the good report. You can say yes to Jesus right now. You can say yes to him. And I pray that if there's someone here who needs to say yes, that you'll do so. Find the courage to go down in baptism for the remission of your sins, to rise and be a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you're already a member of the body of Christ and you need to rededicate your life because you have forsaken the good report, troubles have gotten you down, and you're growing weary in your well-doing, you need to come back, be restored, and let God hold you till that day. Well, together you stand and sing as someone says yes to Jesus.
To temptation.